as faithful as we can. We are at the church calendar of Jesus' baptism. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And I've entitled this sermon, Baptism, Living in the Future Present. Living in the Future Present. Hopefully that will make sense to us. Pardon?
Wasn't that a title of an X-Men movie?
It might have been. Or I just, maybe, when I thought of it, I thought about a guy in a car with an old professor.
Oh, yeah.
And then like a cool board to fly around on. Exactly. But we're going to look at Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. Let's pray. God, there's always so much we can talk about, so much we're able to teach, so much we can need to curate in order for us, for those of us that are teaching. God, I pray that you would be able to take your words here in your scripture and my words as I unpack it, and that it would ring true and be relevant in our own lives, and it would encourage us to continue to faithfully follow you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Now, every year we preach on this passage, and I'm like, one of those things, like, I've got to have one sermon that I can just keep going back to, and this is kind of it, although I usually cut and slash and add some things, but it's the same passage. The last 3 years, we've been looking at the same passage. And I think I like that in the life of the church, that there's some liturgy that we can just be reminded of. So Mark 1, chapter 9 to 11. My first question for you that I asked even a year ago, I said this: if you could put any words in your father's mouth that you would want him to say about you, what would they be? Think about that. If you could put any words into your father's mouth that you would want him to say about you, what would they be? Let's look at this passage from the New International Version. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven and said, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with all the wild animals, and the angels attended to him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." This is God's word for us today on the Sunday of Jesus' baptism, and that we celebrate Shannon's baptism, and that those of us that have been baptized in whatever mode that we were, we're reminded to live out our baptism as well. I want us to come back to those words, and this is probably my bent. This is what I've talked about this before, but if you look at the NLT, "You are my dearly loved son, you bring me great joy," is one version. I already read the NIV. The NRSV says, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." And then the Message paraphrase, "You are my son, chosen and marked by love, by my love, pride of my life." You are my son, chosen and marked by my love, pride of my life. These words of the Father were spoken to the Son in the presence of the Holy Spirit, manifest in a dove, before Jesus had actually really completed anything of importance. I can be reminded of that all the time. These words of God, of the Father, were spoken to the Son in the presence of the Holy Spirit before Jesus had actually really completed, done anything of significance. The posture of the Father is this: This is my son in whom I'm well pleased, in whom I find incredible joy. And it's like, I'm still, the Trinity is a bit of a mystery. That's why I'm looking forward to next week in our book club. You can join in if you want. We're coming back to, it's called BTW, by the way. Yeah. By the way, following Jesus, getting serious about following Jesus. And there's a few of us that meet here at 9:30 in the morning. And it's by Derek Vreeland is the book. You could still get it and read the last half and just go chapter by chapter. Because next week we're going to talk about the way of the Trinity. So we're gonna be reading about the Trinity and what that means. But sometimes the Trinity, it seems like this mysterious understanding of who God is. But you see the Trinity in its full glory here. God the Father is speaking to the Son, saying, I'm proud of you. I love you. You're marked by love, my love. And the Spirit descending upon him. And it's interesting that, again, that God is saying this, or the Father is saying this to Jesus, who we know is God, that we looked at last week, the full revelation of who God is. But he spoke these words before anything Jesus had ever done of any real significance that were necessarily recorded. So what were these great things that Jesus was about to embark on after his baptism? What was this that he was about to do? He was about to announce and enact the kingdom of God. It shows us later in the passage. That then he went around and said, repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is here now, ready for us. So Jesus' life goal was to announce and enact the kingdom of God. And through his love, and all the things that he did, service the poor, sitting with the outsider, maybe some prophetic ways that he was speaking to those in power at the time, giving his life self-sacrificially on the cross for the forgiveness of sins and to reveal the full understanding of who God is. Here, Jesus is about to show all of humanity. I'll pause on that. All of humanity, but last week we talked about if you want to understand who God is, our best look is Jesus. So Jesus reveals the full understanding of who God is. Scripture points to that. And so Jesus was fully God, but he was also fully human. And so you could also say that Jesus here was about to show us actually how to be human, how to live fully in the kingdom of God, even though he was still God. Scripture points out he is the second Adam for us to live fully human. He's about to show all humanity how to be human. He's about to show us how to live. And the Spirit of God will empower him to do it. We have the Son of God coming down to heaven as Emmanuel in Jesus, God with us here on earth to reveal the real way to live differently and beautifully in the world. Those of you that are followers of Jesus, we say, I'm a follower of Jesus. Some will say, I'm a believer of Jesus. But believing and following, the words move us to action, right? So you're trying to how best to faithfully live as a follower of Jesus. So Jesus came to show us how to fully live as a fully human being. And it starts off with that posture. I love you. So, in your following Jesus this week, this month, today, later on in the morning, when you're following Jesus, the posture that God has towards you first and foremost is, before you've done anything, I love you. And we're going to come back to that. I believe that we're actually able to, yes, say that God is, we're supposed to hear those words for ourselves as well. I love you. You're marked by my love. Derek Vreeland, the guy that wrote this book, I'm going to quote him here. Baptism has become a portal out of this old broken down world and into God's world of new creation. An escape hatch out of the kingdom of empire, power, adultery, and injustice, and into the kingdom of love. Jesus was baptized to fulfill God's plan to rescue the world. All those who follow Jesus through these waters of baptism enter his revolutionary kingdom. So it simply would be this, is that Jesus, our following of Jesus, our living out our baptism vows, is to live in the future present, or the present future. We know the kingdom of God is that's to come, but it's also near. Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God is here. Repent, be baptized, follow me. So now we're to live as though we're living in that future. Do you understand what I mean? It's not just and we've talked about this here a lot, so it's not just a ticket to heaven. It's not just a ticket, but it's a ticket to ride. It's following Jesus is this long obedience in the same direction as Jesus leads us. So we're people really in the present that are marked by our future. That Jesus, we know that at one day, Jesus at Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. But we're to live that out now too in our own lives. And this is what baptism is able to do for us. So Jesus is not getting baptized because he had personal sin here though, right? He's revealing to us, and what he's doing here is that he's reenacting, some people would say he's reenacting the Exodus. So stay with me here for a minute. Okay. Jesus is reenacting the Exodus. So, Jesus here, in a sense, anyone know what river that is believed that Jesus got baptized into? The Jordan, right. The baptism of Jordan. Israel crossed two bodies of water. Which were they? Red Sea, out of the Exodus, right? And then, which other body of water? The Jordan, before they entered the Promised Land, right? So here, and there's lots of this kind of imagery, and so when you see this imagery, you have to kind of get on and I'm not the best person to do this, but I'm learning to do this. I'm learning through a whole bunch of different ways. One, I'm learning lots from Glenn Collins in this way, but as we understand Jesus entering the Jordan River, I'm also need to be thinking with a Jewish mentality, is that okay? What's entering the water in Jordan? When did that happen again? Oh yeah, it happened when the people of God crossed the river. So Israelites were led out of slavery by crossing the Red Sea and into the Promised Land as they crossed the Jordan River. Now we have Jesus here being in the Jordan, being baptized. And as Joshua crosses the Jordan, he's coming into the new land, but what is he doing during that time? He's called to do, and to some of us, this would be, a lot of people have a lot of questions about this, and we can raise it, but Joshua crosses, and then he goes and kills Canaanites. Jesus enters the Jordan River and saves Canaanites. Joshua crosses the Jordan and he kills God's enemies. Jesus crosses the Jordan and is killed by his enemies. And so you're kind of going, what is happening here? Jesus is enacting and revealing the fullness of his kingdom to the fullest extent here, and pointing us to living in a different way that we would suppose or want to live. So by the baptism of Jesus, Jesus is doing this, and many people say that Jesus is the second Joshua, Yusheel. Jesus is revealing God fully to us in this way that looks totally different than it was before. So we have to be thinking about this. So that now, So think about this. There's something profound that's happening in the baptism of Jesus, and we need to pay attention to this. God is now making a way for any and all to come in to participate into this kingdom life. Any and all. Enemies and all. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It's a kingdom that's defined and shaped by love. This is what Jesus is leading us into. It's a love revolution, in a sense. The God we worship is love, and we are transformed by that love that we're called into this life of love for us. This is the different kingdom. A kingdom of forgiveness, a kingdom of self-sacrificial love, a kingdom that has God's purpose of a revelation of love at the center, revealed to us in the person of Jesus. Verse 14, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. This is absolutely good news. And it's good news for every single person. That this good news that Shannon talked about, it's for all of us. Some of us have experienced this in our own lives. And this is the kingdom of God that we are baptized into and that we are now to live out. We receive this for ourselves, and now we're to live that out in our own lives. And sometimes that's really hard. And it takes a repentance to get there. I should be. I don't do it, but I probably should be. I should be repenting every single day. Repentance isn't just a one-time thing. Although there's a one-time thing that you do to help you set yourself in a trajectory of following Jesus. But repentance is this thinking, turning, and going, oh, it's not the way, that's not the way where I'm supposed to go. And Jesus goes, no, exactly, this is the way. Repent and believe what? The good news that's proclaimed for all people this way. And so, repentance is a rethinking and realigning our lives with what God is doing through Jesus in our lives. But also, remember Jesus said, the kingdom of God is near, it's right here, it's right at hand. So now how do we experience this kingdom of God in our lives? One of the key ways is saying, maybe the way I think things should go isn't the right way. Maybe I need to realign myself with Jesus, and be able to walk in this way. And we do this, we do this in the midst of community. One of the practical ways is, I love that, this is just a bit of a, throw it there for LT members. We sit as an LT, and we don't always agree on things. But we love each other really, really well. So then we're able to move forward on things. But sometimes it takes things a little bit longer because we got to talk about these things a bit more because we're not willing to just get up out of off the table. And so a Jesus-centered community says we're going to listen to one another in this and we're going to hold each other accountable to living a life like Jesus. And was it as faithfully as we can, not perfectly. I've discovered this last week, months, that I don't do it perfectly at all. And when we're reminded of that, then what do? It's a repentance. It's a 180. It's turning. Can you go to the next slide? Repentance comes from the Greek word metanoia, which literally means change of mind. So talk about like maybe feeling bad about things, but it's literally just a change of mind. So those of you that aren't super emotional, this is for you. You don't have to come up here and, get on your knees and, cry and wail. That's a form. That's for some people, repentance, that's what it looks like. But for some of you, it's a change of mind. For some of us, when I was growing up, I needed that. I was quite an emotional guy. So I needed that kind of a physical, oh my goodness, what have I done? This is done wrong. But some of us just need to go, I'm going the wrong way. I got to go this way now. I got to follow Jesus this way. And this is what the baptism is doing. It's saying going one way and going the other. Now we live in the way of Jesus. And I'm going to say one more thing because it's, is this. We live in the way of Jesus. And that is one, and that is the way that is represented by humility, forgiveness, self-sacrifice, and service of others. We've received and experienced this ourselves from God through Jesus, and we're now to live this out in this future in the context of our present community. Baptism is not only an act which you declare our allegiance to Jesus. It's also a symbol of our incorporation into Jesus' body. That is the church, the bigger church. And baptism isn't a solo act. It can't be separated from the church family which it takes place. So there's a symbol of what's happening here. And later on, the church said, oh, you know, baptism is actually needs to be part of a localized community. What does it look like? And so there's varying different ways that different churches believe about that. But we say, this is why we haven't just said in our church that we're Jesus-centered. We say we're a Jesus-centered community because we want to learn from one another in this way. And it's in the context of community that we're sharpened and that we're learning and growing in that way. Christian baptism conveys a new identity. Baptism is not a mere symbol, but it's like what Derek Vreeland talked, it's a sacred portal, in a sense. It's not like beam me up, Scotty, but in a sense, baptism is this portal of the future, but also to be lived out in the present. The baptized have made their exodus from this present ages and now belongs to the world to come. Like Israel leaving the slavery and identity of Egypt and passing through the waters of the Red Sea to gain a new identity in the promised land, so the Jesus follower passes through the waters of baptism to gain a new identity into the world to come, to be lived out in the present. This is why Christians had the habit of giving new names to new believers. So the church has this habit of you'd get a new name when you got baptized. So no doubt we are from the future. In a world devout, or missing the imagination and dominated by the way it's always been, we are to be a prophetic witness to what God is doing in the world. The principalities and the powers committed to the status quo would say that poverty is inevitable, that war is unavoidable, exploitation of the weak by the strong is inescapable. But we need to refuse from that. We need to be able to live differently. If you believe that, you just go, okay, this is just going to happen. But we're here to live differently in our world, in whatever context we live in. We believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And may we have the imagination of the Holy Spirit. And we believe that this world to come is here as well now. Not fully, but it could be here. The kingdom of God is near. We would agree with what Jesus is saying. We are from the future. We live with heaven in mind. Heaven that is revealing itself where? Here on earth. A lot of Christian faith is a matter of learning to live by this different way and reality. Sometimes I have moments and epiphanies. and sometimes I'm just called to be faithful and obedient in the way that Jesus is calling us. So Mark is saying to us this, in the whole book of Mark that we went through a few years ago. It's this. This is the setup. This is the setup. This is the beginning of Mark. Now he says this. Now watch the rest of the story. Learn and see here with the heavenly voice and this heavenly vision. And maybe hear that these words are also for us here on earth. The same Jesus said, come follow me. Learn from me. Let me show you how to do it. So we let these words change us. We let these words mold us and make us something new. And when we do, we will be better equipped to enter into the desert land, the dry land, and the hard parts of life. And those words will still ring in our ears and hopefully fill our hearts. You're my son. You're my child. You're my daughter. You're chosen and marked by my love. You're the pride of my life. The kingdom of God is near. Would we live out these words that Jesus is calling us to do, knowing that we can't do it perfectly, but could we do it faithfully, knowing that we might have to be repenting almost every day? I'll leave you with this poem by Malcolm Guite. Beginning here, we glimpse the three in one. The river runs, the clouds are torn apart. The Father speaks, the Spirit and the Son reveal to us the single loving heart that beats behind the being of all things and calls and keeps and kindles us to light. The dove descends, the Spirit soars and sings, "You are beloved, you are my delight." In that quick light and life, as water spills and streams around the man like quickening rain, the voice that made the universe reveals the God in man who makes it new again. He calls us to step into that river, to die and rise, and to live and love forever. Let's pray. God, would you motivate us to, those of us that have already made our baptism vows, would you remind us again, gently, that as we hear your words to repent, that we would have a change of mind and see that, oh, Jesus, you want to do it this way. Jesus, would we follow you? Would we follow you as the Lord and Savior of our lives continually? Thank you so much for the encouragement and the testimony that Shannon had for all of us. I pray this week that our lives could be an encouragement for someone else. And those of us that need that encouragement for our own lives, would we be able to pay attention and maybe even be able to hear your words ringing through other people's words, that we are marked by your love. Help us live very much in the present, but knowing that we are also people of the future, of the kingdom to come, fully marked by your love.